You're listening to the Podmania Pro Wrestling Podcast. Just a sample of the best pro wrestling podcasts we can produce on our tiny budget. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, at Podmania, YouTube, and Instagram, at The Real Podmania. If it's wrestling you want, check out more of our great content at www.podmania.weebly.com. Let's do this.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Podmania podcast. I am your host, Rob Goodwin, and I am joined by Chris and by Garth for this, our NXT TakeOver War Games 2 review. Let's start with you, Chris. What a show.
What an actual show. Like, up there with shows of the year, like fucking All In, TakeOver New Orleans, CXT Chapter 1. It was just...
Kidding.
Just what a way to plug your own show.
That's on this website. No, it was an amazing show. But like one of the best takeovers in a year of great takeovers.
Yeah, absolutely. Garth, what about you?
Same. Yeah, brilliant. Every match had something. I mean, I think I've got about 6 pages of notes.
It's... Honestly, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say, and we'll talk a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, at the end about our Podmania end of year awards, but I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say of any company, this is in the top three shows of the year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Easy. It's probably the best WWE branded show this year.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
If it's WWE branded, that's not stiff fucking competition.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you look at Crown Jewel, for God's sake. I mean, from top to bottom, they could do no wrong. I mean, for God's sake, the War Games match, which main evented the show rightly, was nearly 50 minutes long.
And it was that long?
At no point did it feel like it had gone 50 minutes.
No, not at all.
It was like half an hour.
Yeah. Now, 47 minutes and 10 seconds the main event went. And that's ridiculous, the fact that it went that long.
There was no passengers in that match at all.
No, there was no passengers on the card. I mean, genuinely, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, Dave Meltzer's ratings are extremely subjective and seem to rile a lot of people for some reason. But it would be extremely interesting to see what Dave Meltzer rates some of these matches, because I can honestly say there are two, maybe even three, depending, 5-star match candidates.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah. I think the War Games match was stellar. Absolutely incredible. And we will get into our review in a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Just let us gush for a minute. I thought the Velveteen Dream taking on Tommaso Ciampa, it was such an entertaining match. There was highs, there was lows, and genuinely there were parts where I thought the Velveteen Dream was going to take it.
Yeah.
There was actual drama because I thought, holy shit, Dream's going to win the title.
By the way, my brother walked in as that came on, and I can't speak to how confused he was when he saw Velveteen Dream.
It's Hollywood Hogan.
It's like, how do you explain Velveteen Dream? He's Prince if Prince could punch you in the face.
Yes, yeah. He's Prince wasn't dead. With all of the gimmicks. With all of the gimmicks. And then Aleister Black taking on Johnny Gargano. I mean, Garth, I know you're going to boil some piss over Aleister Black because you still don't like him. But even you have got to appreciate just how fucking good this match was.
Oh, no denying the match was good, and I did enjoy it. I just have some caveats.
He has a hot take for the first match of the night as well, just to foreshadow that.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are three of us, and Garth does not speak for all three of us when he talks. Okay, so just bear that in mind. But before we start with our review, our predictions, lads.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
At the start of this wrestling weekend that saw not only take over War Games 2, it also saw Survivor Series 2018. At that point, after Bound for Glory, Chris was 1-0-0 up.
How do I know more about Impact than you two?
Your guess is as good as mine. Your guess is as good as mine. There was some bizarre booking at Bound for Glory. But I have the results of our predictions. So, after this show. The Black Gargano match, we all had Johnny Gargano to win.
Yeah.
Aleister Black won.
Yeah.
Now, after the Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane match, we all had Shayna Baszler to retain. Ciampa and Velveteen Dream. Myself and Chris had Ciampa. Garth had Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
Phil.
Which that means that the main event, basically, Chris, if the Undisputed Era won, you would have won. But it wasn't. It was Team War Raiders, which means that Rob, back in the game. So Rob came out on top. So at that point, it was 1-1-0. Sorry, Garth. Come to Survivor Series, or as I like to call it, Raw Wankfest 2018. Apart from the pre-show, which apparently doesn't matter. But the Raw clean sweep of every single match, which is just baffling.
Embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Both me and Chris tied. So it is now 2-2, Garth 0. Basically, Garth, you were let down by The Bar, Team SmackDown and the Women, Shinsuke Nax, and D-Bry.
Everyone. I'm just playing contrarian. That's...
You are. You're... but yes, yeah, so me and Chris are currently 2-2-0 up, and I believe the next big show all three of us will be doing will in fact be Wrestle Kingdom.
Shit, I've got a clue.
So...
So I might win that then.
I'm looking forward to doing the predictions if Garth comes on for that.
That's going to be fantastic.
Who are
these
people?
I might win that because it's going to be random as shit.
I can't wait for the moment he has Kota Ibushi versus Haruki Goto and going, who's Goto? What is a Goto?
Get to the junior match. It's like, what is a Kanemaru? Isn't Desperado a beer?
Don't I need to put like 8 hours aside for that?
Anyway, let's move away from Wrestle Kingdom. We're here to talk about NXT TakeOver War Games 2.
Yeah.
We'll start with the very, very surprising opening, which started with Matt Riddle coming to the ring, bro. Which I think surprised everyone. Garth.
And you're going to me first.
I'm going to start with you because you weren't a fan of this.
I just thought, what the fuck is this? Is this some sort of fucking Bill and Ted piss take or something?
Right.
Excellent.
Go on.
Honestly, I can imagine coming down playing air guitar and doing the whole Hawaiian sort of, you know, the finger point thing that they do and pretending to smoke a fake joint and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much Matt Riddle's gimmick. But Chris, what do you think?
I said it in the group chat when Garth was getting annoyed about it. I know like 5 people like him in the halls in the uni I go to. But the only difference is I believe Matt Riddle could kick my cunt in.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
The sad thing is, I used to know people like that at college as well. And that was like 20 years ago. So these things haven't changed.
So
stoners are still stoners.
Yeah, absolutely. So his gimmick aside, Garth, okay, if you can, you can put your angry glasses down. What do you think of him generally?
To be honest, I don't really know a lot about him. I know obviously he was like a UFC guy and that, but when it comes to sort of wrestling, there's nothing to really base it against.
Okay, fair enough.
So I don't really have any sort of care either way. I know that he came and sort of kicked Cassius Ohno's ass.
Yeah. Basically, we were supposed to get Matt Riddle versus Cassius Ohno on the pre-show, and it wasn't supposed to be filmed, and we were supposed to get it in the NXT next week. But Matt Riddle came down, said he fancied doing it now. The crowd cheered. Cassius Ohno came down, shouted him down for a minute. Matt Riddle needs the fucking beard off Cassius Ohno. I'm not joking. That looked stiff as balls. That knee to the face. Pinned him after 7 seconds. I mean, I knew Cassius Ohno was the gatekeeper to NXT. I didn't realise it had gotten that bad.
His fall has been sad.
Pardon?
His fall has been so sad.
His fall has been alarming.
he was genuinely one of my favorite guys. Like, he'd make me watch CZW, and I fucking can't stand CZW. And he's one of my favorite indie guys before he came in. And then when he came in, he was challenging Bobby Roode, and I knew he wouldn't win, but I was sort of like, you know, this is a great place to start. And then, you know, just kept on going down. He won a feud of Hideo with Tammy, and then nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he got shunned out of that fucking US title ladder match, as far as I'm concerned, because Lars fucking Sullivan was in it, but not him.
Yeah.
In fact, he jobbed to Lars Sullivan last year at War Games.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Not as, you know, hilariously as this, but, I mean, Matt Riddle is going to be massive in the WWE. I mean, there's no two ways about this. He's massively over with the crowd. You know, he's got a gimmick that a lot of people can relate to, especially apparently the stoners in Chris's halls. But whether 7 seconds was the best way to go, I don't know. It got a massive pop from the crowd. It was something new, something exciting that we didn't expect. Why not? And that knee, stiff as balls.
I suppose it gets him on the best show of the year. So
absolutely, we're talking
about it. Ono can say that he was caught by surprise and the feud can go on.
Yeah. And let's face it, Ono, despite his, well, I mean, his weight fluctuates alarmingly, to be perfectly honest, but, you know, he can still go in the ring and he's still very athletic for someone of his size. So I look forward to seeing that. Absolutely.
If you want proof he can still go watch his stuff in progress earlier this year.
Yeah, when he was let go. I've heard that was really good. I need to
he wasn't let go. They just let him. They just send him to places.
That's what I meant. Like Apollo Crews.
Yeah, like his match with Tyler Bate and Zack Sabre Jr. in different matches. It was great.
Zack Sabre Jr. is fantastic. I love that man. Anyway, sorry. We move on to the actual scheduled programming. And we started with the women's match, the 2 out of 3 falls match for the NXT Women's Championship between Shayna Baszler, the champion, and Kairi Sane. Let's start with Chris. What do you think of this match?
Awesome match for the two most obvious opponents in NXT. Like, they're both really good at what we do. And it's like Scary MMA Lady versus Hello Kitty Pirate. It's just brutal. But although, despite the fact this match was really good, it wasn't as good as their Brooklyn match or their Evolution match, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because it was a bit too overbooked for me. Like, we had two interferences from the same two people. Yeah. Over Dakota Kai came down and did basically nothing. And then the most impressive part of the match, Io Shirai did a moonsault in skinny jeans.
That moonsault is, and I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say this, is the most beautiful moonsault I've ever seen in my life.
And now CM Punk's is quite
honestly, it was incredible. It was just picture perfect. Gar, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was brilliant. I've always liked Shayna Baszler. I just think she's so believable, which is the best part about her. Because you know she can kick people's ass, so she looks like she's going out there and doing it for real. But like Chris said, I think the interferences did spoil it. They're there for the reason. It's the whole sort of four horsewomen thing, but I don't think they needed to be involved twice. I don't know, it sort of took it just killed the flow a little bit. But, I liked how the sort of the falls fell and where they were doing the different pins and stuff like that. That was really good. And that Shayna Baszler where she stomped on her face. Fucking hell, that looked brutal.
Yeah, it did. It looked horrendous. So the first fall, Shayna Baszler got by Kairi Sane tapping out to the Kairi Fuda clutch after interference from Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir. Now, this is not the last time that they interfere in the match. And in fact, I think they interfere maybe 3 or 4 times in this match. And I do appreciate what you say, Chris. It was very, very overbooked. Very overbooked, and
yeah. It
was in danger of spoiling my enjoyment of the match, but I do appreciate that NXT had the unenviable position of trying to keep two women strong in a 2 out of 3 falls match, which, you know, can go very, very wrong. You don't want to bury Kairi Sane, but you also don't want to make Shayna Baszler look weak in a title defense. Kairi Sane rallied. I thought this is the best I've seen Kairi Sane, if I'm honest. I don't really follow Kairi Sane before NXT, or I didn't, sorry, no. I should say. But I do think this was one of the better performances from her. She managed to get the even the score after an insane elbow. But then the second fall, again, Duke and Shafir were involved. You said Dakota Kai didn't do anything, Chris. She came down to save her friend. Is that not enough for you?
The commentators put it over more like, oh, she does hate Shayna Baszler more than, oh, her friend. To be honest.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. She did.
She's the Krillin of NXT.
yeah, Dakota Kai attempted to come and even the score. She quickly got overpowered because there's two of Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir. There was one Dakota Kai. Io Shirai came to the ring, got a big pop. I was impressed with the pop that Io Shirai got. And she got up onto the turnbuckle and performed that beautiful moonsault, which was just beautiful. Just beautiful. Kairi Sane is attempting to go for the insane elbow, misses, Baszler catches her, rolls her up, retains the title. Correct result, Garth, or not?
Yeah, definitely.
Chris?
Keep Shayna Baszler strong until she moves up.
Yeah, correct. Chris, do you agree?
Yeah, Kairi Sane's not really one for a long title reign. She's one for like a pop. Like she was a transitional champion to set up a match for Evolution. That's basically it, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I see her more as a babyface chasing the title than having the title, which, you know, is not a bad position to be in. I don't think it'll be long before we see Kairi Sane on the main roster. It'll be interesting to see who challenges Baszler next, as we have had an influx of women, whether it's Io Shirai challenging her next, whether it's Lacey Evans, whether it's Bianca Belair, or whether it's Dakota Kai. Who knows?
Or Toni Storm.
Or Toni Storm. She didn't get the NXT UK women's title, after all. So, we then move on to Aleister Black taking on Johnny Gargano. Garth, would you like to boil your piss now, or would you like to wait until me and Chris have said our things, and then we can go and get a drink while you rant?
I'm not going to rant. First off, I need to mention the fact that X-Pac was in the house.
Oh yeah, he made his NXT debut.
He did.
With his fucking dog.
His dog was there. Since so when have pets dogs been in? Allowed in the Staples Center?
It is for his mental health, and you're legally not allowed to ask him about it.
No, shut up. Seriously. No, it is. I wouldn't be fucking surprised if that didn't try that shit. Because he's high most of the time anyway.
True.
He doesn't even know he has a dog. He thinks it's a raccoon. Back. He thought he found Rocket outside of TakeOver, brought him in. He comes down and suddenly with a dog next to him. He's like, what did I do last night?
Oh, God. Right. Go. I'm
not going to shit on the match because it was a really enjoyable match. I loved that. To be fair, I thought Gargano was brilliant here, especially his character work.
Yeah.
It's, when he was walking up the ring, he's like, yeah, you still love me. I was just like, that's brilliant. Like, because he hasn't actually really done that much wrong. He's just beat up Aleister Black.
Which apparently makes him a face to you.
Well, but I just, there's just a couple of things that this has come up before in the podcast as well. It's the springboards by Aleister Black.
Is it the springboard lion salt?
It's the springboard where he sits down, and I'm thinking, what the fuck are you doing that for in the middle of a match when Gargano's out the ring and he just comes in and kicks him in the face?
Mind games.
Nah, I'm not having it. it's just, some of the things just left us thinking. I mean, he tried that springboard so many times.
He did try it multiple times.
And I'm not shitting you, when I was watching his multiple strikes, his punches, I was like, has he been learning from the best in the world?
Shane O'Mac?
Yeah. Because those punches were dog shit.
Yeah, some of those strikes were fairly poor.
To be fair, his kicks are fucking like stellar. And his knees. And I mean, I was watching, I was thinking, he's not actually a wrestler. He's a brawler. He's a striker.
Yeah.
To be fair, that was Austin.
True.
True.
But I don't know. Well, it was a class match. Like the suplex pin and stuff like that. That was really good. Like his suplexes are superb.
Yeah.
That's the plot. Especially the fact he like sort of bridges them as well. But some of the stuff are just, and this was a thing that runs through a lot of stuff at the minute, but there seems to be no lasting impact for a lot of moves now. Especially like there was times where Gargano was getting kicked, like roundhouse kicked, and he was sort of flopping to the floor. And you were thinking, that's like really good sort of work. But then he jumps up and he does bloody springboards and shit.
Oh man, you're going to hate Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, I've seen Wrestle Kingdom before. But overall, honestly, I did really enjoy the match. But Aleister Black just infuriates us.
You all done?
Yeah.
Okay. Just take five. Catch your breath. Chris.
This is a really, really good match. First of all, I'd like to say that Johnny Gargano's heel turn is possibly the most organic heel turn I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like he, because in his head, he is justified. He wanted Ciampa. The ends justify the means in his eyes, and you don't need to see him as the good guy. He just needs to see himself as a good guy.
That's what I like about it. That's what I like. Because he hasn't actually changed.
Yeah.
He's just sort of said, well, I've done whatever it takes.
It's absolutely perfect. And also, I love the use of misdirection in this match, just their normal spots being countered, because it fits within the narrative of both men, definitely, because Aleister Black is one to just... is whole gimmick is around him being excessively disciplined, so he'd have watched a million tapes. Mm. And Johnny Gargano would have been trembling in fear watching Aleister Black matches for the past 3 months. But I'm with you, Gaff. I'm not a fan of Aleister Black's gimmick. It's basically just, oh, I'm me, but like a badass type gimmick. At which, if you're at all familiar with the Scottish independent scene, it's the entirety of a fucking Scottish independent scene. I do hate that gimmick, so which is why I wanted Johnny Gargano to win. But at the same time, this was a properly good, near perfect match if the right person had won.
It was good. I'll tell you what did elevate the match was the commentary.
Oh, with one exception. Phenomenal. One exception, Percy Jackson needs to be fucking fired.
Oh, yeah.
He
Mr. Obvious.
Aleister Black kicks the shit of Johnny Gargano, and he was like, oh, Johnny Gargano wasn't expecting this. And he's like, it's Aleister Black. What was he going to do? And then you can tell half the time Nigel McGuinness wants to strangle that man, because he was like, how could you expect anything else? And then Mauro Ranallo quickly steps in. It's quite funny. But, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to step in and say I love Aleister Black's gimmick. I absolutely adored this match. I thought everything fit together really well, from every counter to every ridiculous move through the ropes. Johnny Gargano, I completely agree with you, Chris. I think his heel turn has been so well done and so organic, because in his head, he's not a heel. I thought the fact that Gargano had so much of this match worked so well in the favour. I am just going to say now that every match worked, the fact that there were two rings together, which isn't an easy thing to work into a match. Mm-hmm. Every match worked in really, really well, apart from the women's match, which I don't think used it that much. But I loved the ending sequence where Gargano goes for that spear through the ropes and Black just knees his face off, rolls him in, gives him two black masses, wins the match. I loved the bit where Johnny Gargano was going for that, going for his finisher, and Black stops him, does his sitting position and goes, kick me. Go on, kick me. And I just loved that bit. I really, really enjoyed that, especially when Gargano stopped as well and then rolled down his knee pad as though to go, right, like, fucking want it now then.
This shit's serious.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing. Johnny Gargano fell for it because he ended up going into a roll up, and then Aleister Black fell for the same fucking trap later in the match.
Yeah, absolutely. That was something that, you know, was a little bit okay. You spoke about commentary, Chris. There was twice when Mauro Ranallo had to stop himself swearing. There was once where he did, when he went "Holy F," which I loved, and then he just outwardly said the word "shit."
Yeah, which this was the one way went there. Something effing something, didn't he?
Yeah, honestly, that man's incredible. The fact that he's so invested in the matches just makes it so much better.
It's when he shouted "Mama effing Mia."
That was the one, "Mama effing Mia." just brilliant, just absolutely brilliant. So this match for me was 9 out of 10 because I would have loved to. The only reason it's not 10 out of 10. Is because just to carry on Gargano's heel turn and to carry on with this whole deluded thing he's got going on in his head, I would have loved to have seen him win. That's the only reason it's not 10 out of 10. Chris?
I'm giving it... I initially said 9 out of 10 when we were talking about it right after it happened, but I'm going to say 8 out of 10 because after rewatching it, there's just too many tiny things that just drag it down a little bit, so 8.
Okay. Garth?
Yeah, I'm going to go 8 as well. Just for the little niggly things, like Chris said, like I mentioned about some of the spots and stuff. But like you say, the Gargano bits, the actual match itself was brilliant. And again, the commentary helped it loads.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, and again, yeah, the result, I mean, Black wouldn't have been any less sort of on fire if he'd lost, I think.
Okay. Final thing, because we didn't actually give a rating to the women's match, I'm going to go 7 out of 10 for the women's match. Garth? Do you know what? No, I'll change that 6.5.
I really enjoyed it. I'm going to go 7.5 because I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Chris?
5. The other booking just sort of ruined it.
Really? That much for you?
Yeah, I'm sick. Like, I'm this sort of ICW's ruined overbooking for me. So.
All right. Fair enough then. So, now we moved on to the NXT Championship match between Tommaso Ciampa and Velveteen Dream. Am I out of line when I say Velveteen Dream stole the damn show? Because, honestly, his ring attire and everything he did in the ring was stellar.
Everything, the sort of video piece beforehand as well, just perfect.
I said to you in the group chat that I really, really don't want Velveteen Dream to go to the main roster because he's going to get ruined. And after just the meteoric rise of this man, I don't want him to go. I don't want him to be ruined. I mean, this match, for me, was... I don't want to say my favourite match because the War Games match... But it was up there with the War Games match for me. It was the drama of the match. Everything about this match was perfect for me. Chris, what did you think?
I thought it was a really good match. Really different from the last one, which was good. Sometimes takeovers can feel a little bit samey.
Yep.
But no, this is something completely different. It's the two most perfect storytellers in NXT coming together.
Yeah.
And I really liked how retro-inspired all of Velveteen's offense was throughout this match.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Even his elbow looked a bit more Macho Man-like than it normally did.
Yeah.
I loved the sort of callback to Hogan, especially with Hogan saying he didn't see Velveteen going anywhere and tough enough. But yeah, this was really good, really story-driven. The Death Valley rolling driver, whatever it's called, on the floor looked brutal.
Yeah,
and
it did.
I legitimately thought at that, with that knee in the corner, that Velveteen was knocked out.
Yeah, I think aside from Kenny Omega, Ciampa delivers the just what looked like the most savage knees, especially I think the knee brace that he's got on certainly helps that aesthetic. I mean, I love the storyline they've got going on, that this championship is slowly driving Ciampa mad. He does not want to lose it. He cannot afford to lose it. You know,
he's turning into Gollum.
Yeah, he is turning a little bit into Gollum. I love the fact that at one point Ciampa had the headband off Velveteen Dream and was mocking the crowd. Yeah. So Velveteen just calmly rolled out of the ring, got the belt, and did the same thing. You know, and there was just that, those little interchanges. These two had such fantastic chemistry. And you're right, Chris, there was so much retro offense from Velveteen Dream. We had the leg drop, we had the figure four, we had the elbow drop. You know, we had so many callbacks to retro wrestlers. And that DDT that Velveteen Dream does, is it looks like a bugger to set up, but it just looks mint. The whole bit with the belt was brilliant when Ciampa goes for the belt and Dream manages to DDT him onto it. We've got the Purple Rainmaker for the close fall. Ciampa performing that elevated DDT, which just looked awful on the metal divider between the rings.
Yeah.
That looked horrible. You've got just everything in this match culminated the way it should have done. For me, it was as near a perfect match as you were going to get.
Yeah.
So much
good like storytelling. And even the bit where, right at the beginning, Ciampa sort of messed up Velveteen's hair. And it really seemed to piss him off.
Yeah, it did. It did.
It sort of unnerved him.
Chris, what were you going to say?
On the subject of Ciampa championing the belt, did you see the segment with him, Velveteen, and Nikki Cross a few weeks ago?
No.
It was hilarious. It was basically right at the end of William Regal doing his investigation, which, by the way, was hilarious throughout the whole thing. And Nikki, they were both arguing over who took out Gargano, and then Nikki Cross came out going, "I know what you did." And was reaching for Ciampa's belt, and Ciampa was just sort of putting it out of her reach.
Ciampa's fantastic. I cannot wait just for him to be the megastar he deserves to be. And Velveteen Dream, as a seller, I don't think there are many people that touch him.
No.
Because everything seems to physically hurt him. So either he has actually got a condition that makes everything hurt, in which case... Sorry. But, you know, his selling is absolutely fantastic. That Purple Rainmaker on the outside, which led to the whole finish, where he went for the elbow whilst Ciampa was on the outside and he missed and hit his elbow on the floor, that legitimately looked like he popped his elbow.
Yeah.
And that sort of believability in a match, and if you're that invested in a match that you're physically, holy shit, oh no. And then Ciampa obviously does that elevated DDT and retains. And the fact that they both just lay there after the match, physically exhausted.
Fantastic. There was all the near falls, which genuinely could have went either way.
Yeah. And me and you, Garth, have spoken on the Impact podcast, which will be coming out on the same day as this, actually, about believability of people's chances of actually winning a match, especially in the main event. But here... genuinely, it could have been either man that walked away with his title.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us would have been... I don't think any of us would have been upset if Velveteen Dream had walked away with the championship here.
Not at all.
No, not really.
Because that man can carry a brand. He's 24. It's fucking ridiculous.
That seems old to me.
Shut up, dickhead.
Hey, shut up.
Just shut up.
I forgot to mention the bit where Ciampa slapped Mauro.
Oh, yeah.
And it just came out of nowhere as well. Like, it blatantly caught him off guard.
Yeah, completely. And you know backstage, Ciampa's run to Mauro and gone, "I am so sorry. It was a heat of the moment. It just seemed like the right thing to do. I'm sorry."
You attack the lead commentator in NXT, you're here, you attack him in New Japan. Massive face, at least to me.
Match rating. God.
I kind of give it a perfect rating.
On principle, or?
I don't know. I don't even know if that exists. I'm going to go 9.
Spoil sport.
9.5. Close to perfect.
Okay. What's the perfect?
What,
I'm going to put you on the spot now.
There was one thing that sort of cocked up a bit, I think. There was a bit where they were outside and the ref didn't count. And they were out for there for a fucking hell of a long time. It was a bit where he slapped Mauro Ranallo.
Oh, I was you're like, holding that against the match.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, why is the ref not counting here? Is there a reason?
Oh, yeah. Just, do you know what? I never even thought about that. I was that engrossed in the match that I didn't even think about that.
I didn't until later.
Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to agree and take, give it a 9. If we'd have slapped Percy, maybe I'd have given it a 10. But yeah, it's a 9.
Okay. Do you know what? Fuck it. I'm giving it 10. Wow. I haven't been that invested in a match in God knows how long. And, you know, probably since the Almas Gargano match was the last time I was that invested in a match.
Yeah.
You know, when you physically did not know what was going to happen. You didn't know who was going to take the championship. There was just inventive spot after inventive spot. There was near fall after near fall after near fall. And I just feel like, what in God's name was that?
What was that, actually?
What the hell was that?
That was my two-year-old.
Oh, right. So I thought it was a blade.
Oh?
That's all right. Sound a bit of a whinge.
Oh, okay. Have we just had a guest appearance from one of your children?
Yep.
Nice. That's completely through. Honestly, I thought our podcast was haunted then.
I shouldn't have said anything.
I thought we got just disappeared. Yeah.
Well, just a buzz saw happened in the background.
Then just a whispered voice, I'm here. So, yeah, apart from the fact that our podcast's haunted, yeah, perfect 10 for me. I'm being right smart. We then get to the War Games match. First things first, did we all watch War Games last year?
Yeah, we're not live because I was at ICW and then got drunk, but yeah.
Okay, sounds like a good night.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it. Okay, so this question is directed just to Chris and me. Better than last year's War Games or not?
I don't see them as comparable because they're different. But they're both War Games, but with different setups.
Okay.
Like, whereas, like, I prefer this one because it's like a one-on-one team rather than like a triple threat team. So I'd say I pick this just because of my own personal preference, but I don't see them as comparable matches.
They were both excellent matches. Both War Games excellent. Matches were excellent matches. I'm going to say that this one was better. I think there was more. I think they've done a better job, and that's nothing against how they built last year's War Games, but I feel like they've built, there was more of an organic feud between, especially Ricochet in the Undisputed Era and Pete Dunne in the Undisputed Era.
And also last year, there was definitely people, there was standouts, there was also people who were definitely being carried, like VIOP were definitely being carried, and Alexander Wolf was certainly like a weak link with Insanity, so in this one, no one needed carried.
God, no. This match, everybody pulled their weight. There was so much going on, and for me, the MVPs of the match had to be the War Raiders.
Oh, yeah. This was a coming out party within NXT for them.
Genuinely, those two men, I mean, I'm going to gush a lot about Hanson very, very shortly, but Chris, I'm going to let you go first because otherwise I'll just steal the show on this one.
Absolutely awesome match. That double moonsault by Ricochet.
Oh, God.
Absolutely insane. I liked the miscommunication between the face team because they're not a team. They're a bunch of guys who have a common enemy.
Yep.
I agree with you when you say the build was much more natural, whereas last year was just sort of like the AOP and Roderick Strong had a reason to hate the Undisputed Era, and then Sanity were thrown in there for some reason. But
what the fuck is going on? Was that you again, Jackson?
Yeah.
Good God.
I'm going to have to dive out for a second.
Go for it.
Just keep going.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Sorry. Please excuse Garth's rudeness, ladies and gentlemen. Chris, off you go.
So, yeah, much more organic feud. Pete Dunne is bae.
Incredible, man.
Absolutely incredible. It's great to see Bobby Fish back, although it looked like he re-injured himself during this match.
It looks like he was in genuine discomfort. there was a moment where he was limping. You could actually see, I think it's Roderick Strong goes to him and go, are you all right? And Fish sort of goes, I'm okay.
Also, I really liked how, like, people who were those people in the Undisputed Era, people hated more, so they were going for them. Like, Ricochet would go more towards Adam Cole, and the War Raiders would go for either the tag champions or Bobby Fish, who, got, of course, cost them the match.
It was
naturally going for people they were in feuds with rather than just hitting anyone on the other team, which I thought was quite nice.
Yeah. But what I liked about this match as well is you run the risk of a match like this just becoming a spot fest.
Mm-hmm.
And though there were some incredible spots, I mean, for God's sake, Hansen is... he must be just shy of 400 pounds.
Oh, he's a big boy.
And he did a springboard splash from one ring to another through a table. He's doing back handspring elbows. You know, it just, the man is just a freak.
He came into the match
and it was like, holy shit. It's ridiculous.
And Ro is also in contender for stiffest knee.
Yes.
Jesus.
Absolutely. Who did he do it to? Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
Just literally had his head in his hands, kneed him, and just looked at the crowd and went, bleh. It was brilliant.
The only disappointment really was there was no unintentional comedy from Kyle O'Reilly.
Oh, do you know what? That man's brilliant. I love Kyle O'Reilly. Just everything he does is comedy. I hope he never goes full serious, because it would really, really just go against everything we know.
He used to be full serious, and it was the fucking... I think, as you know, earlier this week, I was watching some 2012 Ring of Honor, and God, he was in a tag team of Adam Cole.
He's a student, ladies and gentlemen. He does nothing with his life.
Jesus.
Carry on.
Anyway, so Roderick... that was mean. Adam Cole and Kyle...
not as mean as some of the things you've said.
Fair enough, but Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly... we're in a tag team, and if you'd have told me back then that those two would be something special, I would not have fucking believed you.
No, I definitely not.
No.
I mean, even the fact that the cages on the stage, that was being used as storyline.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you got the heel team, they knew straight away who was going out, they were ready. The face team, like you said, they were all pushing Pete Dunne back so that they could get in first. And then eventually you've got Bobby Fish, who was last, who, do you know what? He's incredible. I love him. Just everything he was saying, you know, he's holding the keys in front of Pete Dunne's face, you know, just little things like that. Anyway, he gets out, locks another padlock onto Pete Dunne's cage, throws the key away, and just little story beats like that were absolutely amazing. They were really, really good. You know, full props to the War Raiders, and you know, you're absolutely right by saying this is a coming out party for these two. These two are going to be carrying this tag team division.
Well, it's a pretty weak tag division at the moment. It's basically two teams. And then you have TM61 and Street Profits doing their own thing. But, like, one is sort of a comedy duo and the other one is sort of generic independent tag team number 54. And
they could do a lot with TM61. They could do a lot with them. But they seem to start to... and then sort of either lose steam with the push or just think, maybe it's not worth it.
I think the problem with TM61, they were good in Japan, but problem is, you definitely don't need to be very charismatic to get over.
No.
Like, it's not that kind of market. So when you get over here to NXT, where you do need some kind of personality, we just never grew that in Japan. So they're starting to somewhat grow one, but they're still definitely in the development stages of that. So I wouldn't put them near a tag title scene anytime soon.
No, but then again, if you've got War Raiders and Undisputed Era, and, you know, maybe Mustache Mountain again.
Yeah, Keith Lee and Matt Riddle are being teased as a team, which I think would be pretty good.
Who was that, sorry?
Keith Lee and Matt Riddle have been teased as a team.
That'd be incredible.
Matt Riddle can work great with giants. Like, he was in a tag team with Jeff Cobb, which was absolutely amazing.
I love Jeff Cobb. I so want Jeff Cobb and Michael Elgin to win World Tag League, and it's not going to happen, but I want it to.
It's not going to happen because Jeff Cobb has Ring of Honor commitments, and Michael Elgin is... they're not pushing him seriously.
And Michael Elgin is just Michael Elgin.
yeah, like he's going to be one of those people. He's going to turn up into Fale where he's a threat because he's a giant and then doesn't win any big matches.
Oh, never mind. Are you back now, Garth?
I'm back.
You're good now, mate. You sorted.
I think so. I think so.
Right. What did you think of this match, buddy? Seamless.
Amazing. Honestly, I thought it was absolutely amazing. I mean, it's probably the first War Games I've watched since War Games in WCW. So the comparison, there's a lot more quality here.
Just out of interest, Chris, how old were you when War Games was in WCW?
When they were last in WCW or when it first came out?
Thinking, what is it, 1996?
Oh, it was 1996 was the last time it was War Games. I wasn't even born.
Fucking hell.
I was six, so...
I was 16.
It's like a weird evolution of man thing going.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. Sorry, Garth, please continue. You know, belittle duration.
You know what it is? There are too many massive spots to go into, isn't there? There's just so many really, really cool moments. I mean, even just right at the very end, the face-off at the end.
Yes, just absolutely. Incredible. I love the fact that at one point, I think it's Kyle O'Reilly has got Ricochet. No, who is it? Kyle O'Reilly has got Pete Dunne in some manner of submission using a chain. And
yeah.
Roderick Strong, Adam Cole and Bobby Fish sort of fighting off anyone trying to get close to them. So the War Raiders literally pick up Ricochet and throw him over the top to break up a pinfall. That's amazing. Incredible.
You know what I thought as soon as I saw that? You know that bit in Toy Story 2 where it's like, but I don't want to use my head.
In Lord of the Rings where you've got Gimli and he says, toss me, I'm a dwarf.
Yeah.
And, you know, he tells him not to tell anyone. That's what it reminded me of. But yeah, just everything that they did in this match was brilliant. Even the fact that Bobby Fish bought in customised Undisputed Era chairs.
Yeah.
Just brilliant. Fantastic.
The whole booking, I mean, the booking where the locked Pete Dunne in.
Yeah.
Was perfect. Even though it was like, throw the key away. Okay, right. Well, we'll wait until Pete Dunne's turn to come out, then we'll look for the key.
Then we'll get the bolt cutters.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, that was suspicious.
I was just laughing. I was just laughing at that.
I thought that the order everyone came in was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that it was Adam Cole and Ricochet, the people who'd had this beef, the fact that it was them starting, you know, that made perfect sense. Ricochet, and I feel like we should give Ricochet some absolute props because, as you mentioned early on, Chris, that double moonsault in another dimension, he's still rotating somewhere.
Yeah.
Just that meme from like 2 years ago, it's like, nah, 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 nah.
It was incredible. And I know that the spot that got him up there was slightly contrived. You know, yeah. The fact that they were climbing and obviously they were waiting for Ricochet to sort of get himself into position. There was also that spot that had everyone apart from Ricochet involved, where everyone was climbing on top of the cage, and then you've got Hansen just power bombing everyone on the side of the cage, which took Adam Cole from a suplex position from the top of the cage to the floor. It looked amazing.
It's one of those pieces which is going to be a gif that everyone's going to share, and it's going to be a video for sort of future NXT product.
Yeah, I really, really hope that no one tries to emulate that again. Because that was a proper ingenious, unique.
There was a bit where, did you see Kyle O'Reilly and he knocked himself out with a chair?
Again? Yeah. So
he does this every...
like, where it sort of like bounced off the top
rope. Oh, he did that again.
Yeah, he just sort of moved his head out the way just in time.
Kyle O'Reilly should stop using chairs.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
And chains, because he really struggled to get that chain around thingy's foot.
He did.
But just reminded me, it reminds me of every time someone tries to use a ladder in a submission, it's just sort of like, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we should also give Pete Dunne, you know, extra credit, considering his wife was clearly either in labour or on the brink of labour, because his child was born Sunday? Monday?
Really?
So, fair
dedication.
Play.
Dedication.
That is dedication. Absolutely.
Just imagine the first sight if you see your dad and he has a broken nose and he's limping.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I imagine there were a lot of people limping after that match. At least, yeah. You know, most of all Adam Cole, I imagine. Cole took loads. Then, of course, we had the exchange that led to the finish. We had the sort of reversed last shot. No, that wasn't reversed, was it? It was just a near fall. Mm-hmm. He goes for it again. Dunn reverses it into a bitter end. And then Ricochet hits a 450 splash. And they both cover Adam Cole for the win. They sort of nod at each other. A show of respect. And then they climb on top of the cage, show the title belts, which makes me laugh because they do that and the War Raiders are still on the floor. Because at this point, Rowe has been speared through a table by Bobby Fish. And I believe Hansen is still selling the table that he put Kyle O'Reilly through.
Yeah.
But these takeover crowds need to fuck off with the We Want Table chants. And it's like, you'll get them. Be patient.
Yes, it's also, a War Games match. They'll be coming.
I also feel that both this and the Gargano Black Match disproves the point people make that people only do the too sweet thing when they're bored. People just do it, and I fucking hate it.
Oh, yeah.
I rant about this every time I watch an American show, but oh my fucking God, I hate this.
Yeah, it is annoying. It is. It's ridiculously annoying. But again, similar to the match that preluded it, I was so invested in this match. Yeah. So invested.
Really, really good.
You know, not just because if I won this match, I won the predictions, but because they built it so well. And to go 47 minutes in that sort of environment, you know, and like you said, Chris, not one of these men was carried.
No. I mean, even like Roderick Strong, who you would think of everyone in that would be the sort of lesser of them all, came out with it looking like a right badass.
I think all of them did. I don't think there's anyone in there who didn't have their stock raised tenfold by this match.
I think Strong is only the weakest in terms of promo, because he is not subtle at all. No, again, going back to 2011 Ring of Honor, in this promo, he was just like, I'm a dick. I'm like, thanks for showing and not telling there, boy. But
I love the fact that with your time off, you didn't watch like New Japan or WWE. You watched 2011 Ring of Honor.
Right, I was drunk. I bought Honor Club. I had to do something.
You bought Honor Club when drunk?
Yeah.
What a glowing endorsement for the product.
This is why you don't save your card information on Chrome.
God.
But Strong isn't a weak worker. He's just a weak everything else.
I mean, he started like a house on fire when he came in.
Yeah.
But for me, again, I started by saying it, I'll end by saying it. MVPs, War Raiders.
Yeah, definitely.
The fact they were power slamming each other onto other people, they were launching each other about, they were slapping each other in the face.
Doing cartwheels.
Like I said, Hansen's 400 pounds, must be. And he's doing shit like that. It's just, it's ridiculous.
I'm surprised no one's ever chanted Mbappé Hansen.
I bet they have.
It exists somewhere, surely.
Isn't that song a bit old for you?
It was actually one of the biggest selling songs the year I was born, I think.
Oh, okay. There you go, Garth. How's that make you feel, mate?
Well, the biggest selling song the year I was born, I looked into this, is Barbie Girl by Aqua.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yep. Soundtrack to college.
That's a really sad state of affairs for you, man.
That's a really shit soundtrack for college.
Well, you know, college parties.
Right, so all important Podmania ratings. Chris, what are you giving it?
9 out of 10. The like fiddling with the train and some of the contrived spots. Well, it doesn't overall affect my enjoyment of the match. It does affect it being a perfect match. So 9.
Okay, Garth.
I'm gonna go same as the dream match. 9.5.
9.5. Okay.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I'm gonna go 9.5 as well. There's a very solid reason I'm getting 9.5, and that is I can't be the guy that gives 2 10 out of 10s on a show. So that is my reason for only giving it 9.5. But
I'm already that guy after the G1.
The G1 was an exception, and that's just Ibushi's matches. I mean, overall, guys, if we were to give NXT TakeOver War Games 2 a grade, Garth, what would you give it?
Old school grading.
No, we'll give it a grade out of 10.
I think, taking into account the first two matches, not including the Riddle one, I'd say a solid 8.5.
Okay. Chris?
8. No, actually, no, 9. 9 out of 10.
Good call. Good call. Because I would have driven to where you live and slapped you. I'd have tracked you down through your post office internet and slapped you for that grade. Especially as you've given Bound for Glory a 6, you clown.
Bound for Glory wasn't that good a show, damn it.
I'm going to give it a 9 as well. I thought the show overall, it could quite easily be show of the year for me.
Yeah.
It'll be up there in contention when it comes to our Podmania end of year awards, which we'll come to in a moment. But overall, just another outstanding show from NXT in a year of outstanding takeovers.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 3 that come to mind. And has there only been 4 this year?
Hang on. So we had Philly, New Orleans,
Chicago 2.
Chicago to
Brooklyn 4. No, there's been 5.
And War Games. Yeah, 5.
So I'd argue there's been 3 that have been fantastic. Like, absolutely fantastic. I'd say Philly is the weakest of the top 3. But New Orleans, this one, and probably Philly. Absolutely amazing.
Chicago. Absolutely incredible. Chicago would have been good if Lars fucking Sullivan wasn't going for the title.
Well, yeah, there is that. And to be fair, you know, he had got a broken jaw.
So it's okay when Alice Black does it, but as soon as Nia Jax does it, ooh, she's a...
Wow, okay. I'm not getting any Nia Jax heat on the podcast, so I'm going to move swiftly on. Because, yeah, accidents happen, but of all the people to do it to, did it have to be On Fire Becky Lynch? Anyway, I'd like to quickly, gentlemen, bring your attention to the Podmania end of year awards. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be releasing a podcast very, very shortly where we'll be giving our nominations on 5 categories. Match of the year, wrestler of the year, event of the year. Will we see TakeOver War Games 2? Who knows? Spoiler, yes. Tag team of the year and breakout star of the year. We will give our 10 nominations for each one. Actually, I think there's 12 nominations for each one. We will then put a survey out on Twitter, Facebook, and all other platforms. And come the end of the year, we will say who has won each category. Guys, I'm sure we've all got at least 14 for each category. And I'm sure there'll be some, you know, there'll be no Tai Chi and Wrestler of the Year.
I assumed that. I didn't put it in because I knew it'd be rejected.
I imagine that the breakout of the year is a cut and dry case for Falabar. and if it's not, I will fight you to the grave. But in all seriousness, ladies and gentlemen, we will get some nominations out very, very shortly. And please vote. Vote for your favourite ones. We'd love to hear what you've got to say. That is all for our NXT TakeOver War Games 2 review. Overall, an outstanding show. Did you enjoy it? Were the bits that you didn't enjoy? Talk to us on Twitter, at Podmania. Talk to us on Facebook. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, on CastBox, on most places that you can find podcasts. You can subscribe. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. That really, really helps the podcast out. You can follow me on Twitter at RealRobGoodwin. Garth, where can they find you?
I'm at Drummer Jackson.
Okay, and Chris?
At Young Lion CXT.
Keep forgetting that's your new Twitter handle. and please, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, Podmania year-end awards will be coming shortly. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you guys again soon.
Adios.